We're just a few days away from 2021, and I think it's a good thing to review what 2020 was like prophetically and how we started the year. We started the year talking about a new decade, a new era. We looked at the Hebrew year, which began in 2019 on the 27th of September, 5780. And prophets all around the world were proclaiming that this is a new era. This is a new decade, and it's the decade of the mouth. It's the decade of the prophets. Okay, and so we have entered, we have since this whole 2020, we've entered into this decade of the prophetic, you know, and we talked about how a renewed heart is required for this new era. Old wineskin versus new wineskin. One of the key prophetic scriptures, the theme, I would say, for 2020 was 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20, and which says, "Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." It's been a very important scripture, and I believe that many of us have been holding on to those verses because of the so many things that's taken place in this year, from right at the beginning of the year, even right until now. But here now, I want to talk about 2021. As we are approaching the end of the year and entering into 2021, we look forward to what God is doing. And from 5780 of the Hebrew year, we now go to 5781. From 2020, we now move on to 2021. And as you see there on the screen, you know, I want to take you now to one of the things. What was the first thing recorded in Scripture that God said? As we say, this is the decade of the mouth. But number one, 81, what was the first thing that God says? And in order to do that, we have to go back to the very beginning. We have to go back to the first book of the Bible, the very first chapter in the first few verses. And it says this in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to 5. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day." Now, we talk about how God, that's the first thing recorded here. God said, "Let there be light." Let's sort of qualify and define what that light really looks, what it is, because you'll find out that this light, which is spoken by God, is not the sun, it's not the moon, it is not the stars, because the sun, moon, and the stars only come into the picture on day number four. So one wonders what light that is, and why was it necessary that that light went forth first on the first day before anything else came into the picture? And so in order to do that, we're going to go to the Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 1 to 5. And it takes us to the beginning as well. John writing, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world." And so right here, I want to pick up a few keywords here in this few verses that we've just read. And it's talking about Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. The Word is Jesus is the Word. All right, and then he goes on to say that this, in him was life, in the Word was life, and that life, that means Jesus, is life, and in that life was the light of man. So we have three things here: Jesus is the Word, Jesus is the life, and Jesus is the light. So it's very important to understand that Jesus is the one who gives us light, light and truth. In John chapter 8, verse 12, it says, "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, 'I am the light of the world, and he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life.'" Okay, now I want to take you now to Revelation chapter 21 and just sort of bring that all together, because you find that what begins in Genesis ends in the book of Revelation. And how do we see the ending in the book of Revelation? Chapter 21, verse 22 to 25, it says, but I saw, and in this context here, it's talking about this new city, the new Jerusalem. And here's the description. It says, but I saw no temple in it, for the Lord Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it, and the Lamb is its light. And the nation of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And note how it says there's going to be no night. All right? There's going to be no darkness. Why? Because the Lamb himself, God himself, will be our light. And so this is why we go back to the very beginning. In the beginning, God said, let there be light. So what is that light? See, on the first day, when God said, let there be light, it says, as he spoke those words, everything was set into motion. That was the first thing, and making way for the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, and the seventh day. So light is like this aspect of what puts everything into motion. Without light, there's no life. And so I want to say this, that as we enter into 2021 and as we look forward as to what God is doing and as he's shining his light, God is actually setting things in motion for things to fall in place. That this is the first thing that God needs to do in order for the things that needs to follow to come through and to break forth. So believe that God is actually moving. Things are going to actually move forward and forward. It's not going to stay the way they are because God's light is shining. All right. So after the first day comes the next day. But here we talk about light. Jesus is that light. In the beginning, God said, let there be light. I want to share 3 points with you today, all right, about light. And the first thing that light does, as we all know, is that light exposes darkness. John chapter 1, verse 5. Again, we read, it says, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. The darkness is confused. It exposes the works of darkness. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13 says this, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. So it's important to see that light actually exposes darkness. Okay? Now, I want to take you to a little quick counterfeit here, all right? Because when God does something, you always find that the enemy tries to do the opposite, tries to counter it. He's known as the Antichrist, all right? The Antichrist means he's not only against Christ, but he's instead of, a counterfeit, all right? And so here, we're talking about what God first said in the beginning. And he said, let there be light. That light brings light to all man that comes into the world. It gives life to everything. That light brings clarity. It brings understanding. It brings truth. But now let's go to what Satan first said, recorded into the scriptures. And to do that, we go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. And what does it say? Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, and that's the first thing recorded here by the serpent, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? So here's Satan. What does he do? He puts a question mark. Did God indeed say? So what does he do? He challenges the word of God. He plants a seed of doubt, of unbelief, of confusion. All right, and that's the reason why. You know, we must not entertain the lies of Satan. We must not entertain the thoughts that Satan tries to get us to think. Because the more we entertain Satan, then the more we talk to the enemy, to the evil spirits, and we entertain that thought, just like Eve began to talk with the serpent as she kept talking, what happened? Oh, the fruit, isn't it good for food? And she kept talking to the serpent. And what happens? She ends up talking herself out of faith. Rather than believing what God says now, because of course, her inaccuracy, and now being influenced by the enemy who's trying to plant a seed of deception here, she goes on being deceived. So let us not entertain any thoughts that comes from the enemy, anything at all. We must stick to what God is saying about us so we don't end up talking ourselves out of faith. All right? So when light comes forth, all right, it exposes. Okay? And so the more there's light, the Bible says the wicked will become more wicked and the righteous more righteous. In fact, it says, let the wicked remain wicked and the righteous remain righteous. And so we are seeing right now around the world an increase of wickedness like never before. But let me say this. Let's not be discouraged, because God, on the other hand, is building his church, and the church is becoming brighter and brighter. Now, when we see darkness and all the negative things, I mean, we've seen a lot of things happen in 2020, and who knows what's going to happen next in years to come. However, even though these things are happening in the world, all right, we know that God has a plan and is working through his children, all right, and that's the church. Now, I want you to take a look at this. Look at this little IQ test here. And what does this IQ test say? Now, if you've seen it before, you might already know the answer, but if you've never seen this, when you look at this, probably what you will see is that it reads, God is nowhere, right? But I'm going to ask you to look at it again, once again, and look carefully, and you will realize that it also says, or it can also be seen as, God is now here. And the point of me showing this and using this as an illustration is that when we see negative things happening in the world, we're like, where is God? God is nowhere. No, actually, it's the opposite. God is now here. God is actually the one making manifest those negative things. So when you see negative things happen, things coming up, whether it's within the church, whether it's outside of the church, whether it's out in the world, it doesn't matter. Sometimes we get really disappointed when we hear of negative news that happens, even sometimes even within the church. But the thing is, it's not a bad thing, because God is bringing to the surface those things that needs to be exposed, because God is dealing with his church as well as he's dealing with the world. Because it says, the scripture says, judgment begins in the house of God. So God's going to deal with his people. And in order to do that, God's going to have to shine his light. And that's why he's walking in the midst of the seven churches and looking and really judging and really bringing about, really examining the intents of the hearts of the churches and dealing and calling forth for repentance. But let me share a few more thoughts on this. God is really exposing darkness. In recent times, I've encountered numerous times how God has been exposing, you know, the occultism, for example. There's been, you know, even on WhatsApp, for example, you know, videos that are being circulated, and sometimes, unfortunately, by Christian. And that's not because they're promoting occultism or anything like that. That's just because sometimes we don't know where the sources of those videos come from. And at first look, it looks quite good. It looks quite like it makes sense. It's like it's got a good point. It's trying to fight for our rights. It's trying to fight for freedom. But at initial glance, and by just listening to it, it sounds, oh, that's not too bad. But when you start to look into who they are, what they do, and what they do actually promote, you realize that they've got a completely different agenda. And some of them, in fact, are in the occult. And to my surprise, finding out how they talk about contacting evil spirit, contacting Satan, and all kinds of things, medium and all those kind of things. And that to me was a shock. But what I realize is that God is actually exposing those things, all right? And so I've recently been seeing this happening. And also, we've also been saying, you know, and recently on our Darling Downs property in 215 Masters Road, what happened in the last month or so, or last couple of months, we certainly had no power. And when the electrician came down and began to look at it, he said, you know, between... And you got to understand, because it's such a big property, there's a switchboard at the front of the property and there's one by the side of the house. And there's a wire that goes underground 60 meters long from the first one to the second one. And he says, well, there's a problem. And the problem is in that cable that runs underneath underground. And there's concrete, there's grass. Who knows where the fault is or which part of the cable? And to cut a long story short, we used certain tools we used, and we actually found that the fault indeed was underground, and thank God it wasn't under the concrete, but under where the grass is. They were able to dig it out and found that the conduit had been damaged, or the where it meets, the wires were actually damaged, and I saw it firsthand with my own very eyes. And you know, we've been taught in evangel by pastors to always ask the Lord, Lord, what is it that you're speaking? You know, through the daily things, you know, that we go through every day. You know, sometimes could be something as simple as, you know, not having electricity on our property. And I begin to ask the Lord, Lord, what is it that you're doing? And I don't know, I just felt in my heart because, and many people have been around the world are also confirming this, is the fact that God is actually exposing the hidden things that's underground, that's underneath, that the naked eyes can, I mean, you won't see it by just looking at it from the surface, but you have to dig deep. There was a prophetic word that we were listening recently that was also talking about how, you know, God is actually exposing the root of evil and God is actually dealing with that. So I believe that in this time, God is shining forth his light to expose the work of darkness. Can you say amen? And so because of that, all right, because there's so much darkness around the world and God is shining his light, we are called to walk in the light. And this is a warning here, okay? And I'm going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. It says this, therefore, let him who thinks he stand take heed, lest he fall. All right? Now, like I'm saying, God is exposing all kinds of things, but it's very easy to be led astray because something looks good. And if we're not careful, the scripture says, hey, watch out, unless you fall. Deception is just going rampant all around the world. You know, you talk about the media, which is very biased. The news that are going on, are they real news? Are they really influenced? Are they hiding certain things? And are they making a narrative out of it? And I'm sure you've heard enough and you've seen enough to see that even in the media, there's a lot of things that's going on. And so how do we know what is truth? Matthew 24, verse 24 also says this, for false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive. And look at this. If possible, everybody say, if possible, even the elect. Wow. I mean, that is a frightening verse. That even if the elect, even if that's possible, would be deceived. I don't want to be part of that company. I want to be one who walks in the light of God. And so this leads me to my second point. Point number two is that when light comes, it separates the light and the darkness. I'm going to read Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to reread verse 4 to 5. It says, and God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day. And the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. All right, so God saw that the light was good. And he says that God divided light from darkness. Now, what we need to understand is as we talk about light, there is a separation that takes place. And you know what? We are called as believers, as Christians, to live a life that's separated from darkness. God didn't save us from sin, from darkness, so that we would continue to live in darkness. But he came to free us from that darkness. What does 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 to 10 say? It says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, to a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who were once a people, not a people, but now the people of God, and had not obtained mercy, but now have now obtained mercy. All right, so we've been called out of darkness into the light of God. We are called to be in light. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6 says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness. Okay, so we're talking here about light and darkness. We are not called to walk in darkness, but to be in the light. We are of the light. All right, all right. And I'm going to read now 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1 to 10. Now, saying all of this, deep darkness covers the earth, but we have the light. Jesus is the light. He lives in us. He gives us his word. We are not of darkness. We are of light. Okay, we understand that. And what does that tell us then? Because the Bible says, in a few places, it says that Jesus will come as a thief in the night. However, I want to say this. I want to qualify this by reading 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Because if you are of the day, you realize that Jesus will not come to you as a thief in the night. And so I want you to know this, because as we talk about light, I want to reassure and encourage each one of us that we don't have to be ignorant. We don't have to be, all right, because we are of the light. It says this, but concerning the times and season, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. All right, we all understand that. Verse 3, for when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, everybody say, but you, all right, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. So can you see that? That if we are of the day, there should be no reason why it should overtake us as a thief. Okay, you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet of the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. This is what I want to say. Are you and I of the day or of the night? Are we of the light or are we of darkness? And so we don't have to walk our life thinking that, oh, you know, we're going to be caught unaware and darkness is going to, you know, take us by surprise and everything like that. No. If you and I are of the day and of the light, rest assured that we as God's people, doesn't mean we necessarily know the day and the hour, but we don't have to be caught by surprise. And you say amen. So here we're talking about here, the separation of darkness and light. Know who you are, know who I am. We are of the light. Now in this separation here, I'm going to draw your attention here to this verse, but we're not going to expand on this. This is very likely a future message in itself, which we're going to really take more time to dig into that. But Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 says this, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word of God, the light of God, the truth of God comes to discern, to divide, all right, the soul and the spirit, a division of the soul and the spirit. And the reason why we need to understand that is because we are called to walk in spirit and in truth. All right, but you're going to find that the Christian can walk in the flesh. But you see, God is dividing those two aspects. And I believe that as God is shining his light, he's making and opening the scriptures in this era to help us to walk in victory and the way God actually intended us to walk in his light. But you find that somehow we're still stuck in some form of darkness, but God wants us to come out of it. All right, but here, the point for today is that God wants no mixture. All right, there's a spirit of truth and the spirit of error, all right? And this is happening right now. So we need the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who is the spirit of discernment. We need to separate ourselves from darkness, have nothing to do with the work of darkness, no mixture. You see, all around us, devices that we use everywhere we go, it's so full of mixture. Whether we want it, whether we dislike it, whether we seek it, whether we don't seek it, it's there. And we have a choice. We have to make a choice every day. What do we do with what even the things we don't like to invite in our lives? It's the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Our devices, the internet, has a lot of good stuff on it, but has also a lot of destructive things that we access. Many things that we do that are not fruitful in the spirit, that carries us away from the things of God. The tree of knowledge of good and evil. Good and evil. What is consuming our time? What are we doing with our life? Mixture. See? Mixture. But God wants no mixture in our lives. We want to live a life that is separated from all of these things. We can only do that as we give ourselves to the Holy Spirit and ask Him to truly work in our lives. But I want you to take note of this. Really, when we examine our lives, how much mixture is there? How much mixture is actually happening in our lives? All right? Because when we talk about the image dream that Daniel interpreted for King Nebuchadnezzar, the feet of that statue, speaking the final state of the kingdom of the nations of the world, and he talks about the feet which are mixed with iron and mixed with clay. And the Bible makes it very clear that iron and clay cannot mix. It's a false unity. It's a false oneness. We're seeing that all around the world. You know, all around the world, they talk about unity, but it's not really unity. We see marriage breaking forth. We see talk about unity within the church. What is real unity? As long as we keep living in the flesh and having all that mixture going around and not allowing the spiritual man to come forth, you see, there's a false sense of unity. So here's the challenge here. No mixture. How do I separate? Now, the key word is separate light and darkness. Everybody say separate light and darkness. Very important, I believe. Let me go to the final point here, and that is to walk in the light. Okay? To walk in the light. Number one, okay, we talk about the light of God, okay? God, the light comes to expose. Then we talk about the separation that must take place. Remember, Paul said that I was separated from my mother's womb unto the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was separated for a purpose. It was for God's will. And so here, I want to talk about here walking in the light. And you're going to find that being in the light actually has to do with walking in the light. Okay, and being in the light actually talks, it has to do with our walk, how we walk. And I'm going to look at some scripture verses here, all right? 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, let me read that again. It says, this is the message, we're just going to read it now. First John, the epistles, it says, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. Now, can you see this? Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. So it says, if you go back again a little bit earlier, it says, if you walk in the light versus walking in darkness. So it has to do with how we walk if we're in the light. Let me give another verse here in chapter 9 and chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, verse 9 to 11. He says, he who says he's in the light, are you in the light? Are we in the light? And hates his brother, is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there's no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness, does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So what I'm trying to say here is that being in the light has to do with how we actually walk. So if we're hating our brothers, we have all kinds of issues happening on. Are we walking in the light or are we walking in darkness? Because if we are truly in the light, this is not the life we're called to do. But yet somehow we see that there's a struggle. And again, we will deal with that at a future time. But what I'm trying to say here is that to examine whether we're walking in life, just examine how we walk, how we interact with people, how we interact with our friends. How do we interact with people who are maybe in our authorities? How do we respond to people? What are those things inside of us that are taking place? All right? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 to 16, it says this, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. That's what we are commanded to do. Verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to speak those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fool, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And we can all agree that the days are evil, so we are to redeem the time. Okay? So walk in the light. Don't walk in darkness. Have nothing to do with the work of darkness, but walk in the light. So we talk about walking in the light. How do we walk in the light? We got to walk in the truth. How do we walk in the truth? And you're probably thinking, you know, I want to walk in the truth. I have a desire to walk in the truth, but I'm struggling. And we're going to talk about that again. We're going to deal with that at some other time. But now, let me conclude with this. These are some final practical things that we can do. As we enter into 2021, as God shines forth his light, as God is exposing darkness, and be prepared, because when God exposes darkness, it's not just the world. Remember that God deals with us first. God's going to deal with us individually. He's going to deal with his church. And then he judges the world. If you read the book of Ezekiel, it says two things. That they will know that he is Lord. But notice this. First, it is said in reference to the people of God. That they might know that he is Lord. But then, the second part of that book is that they may know that he is Lord, now speaking to the nations of the earth. Judgment first begins with God's people, that all, not just the church, not just the world, but that all will know that he is Lord. And so here's some practical things. Number one, first point is this. Let's be a lover of truth. Love truth. Side truth. Okay, don't side our preferences or what we're used to and what we prefer and what we like, or even those because they're close to us or whatever it is. Side truth. Always side truth. Side the scriptures. Side the word of God. Side what God is saying. Not what we think the word of God is saying, but what God is saying. And that's why we need this Holy Spirit. Second one. Come to the light. Come to the truth. Let's not run away from it. Now, what happened when Adam and Eve sinned? They hid themselves from God. You see, and that's the human nature, that when we do something wrong or we think we've displeased God, rather than running to him, we run away from God, and what we do is we bash ourselves. We condemn ourselves, and we feel like we can't come out, and we feel like, oh, God is not going to accept me. And so, but God is actually going out after Adam. See, it's the same way Jesus came to for us when we were yet sinners. God still came, not that we wanted him, but he still sought after us. And so don't run away from truth. Run to it, okay? Don't hide. Don't isolate ourselves. Don't become a loner, all right? Stick with what God is saying. Three, respond to the light and the truth. Respond to the light and the truth. You see, the Bible says, today when you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. So what does it say? When the truth of God comes, respond to it immediately. Immediately. See, I'm responsible to what God reveals to me. See, in the book of John, Gospel of John chapter 15, verse 22 to 24, I'm going to paraphrase this, but basically it says that, if I had not done the works that I did, then they would, you know, have excuse for it. You know, they can excuse themselves for not knowing the truth. But he says, but now that they have seen the signs and the works that I do, they have no excuse for sin. So when God reveals something to us, we no longer have an excuse. It's up to us to respond to that truth. We can talk ourselves out and pretend that we are responding to the truth, but we got to be real to ourselves. It's not just what's happening here. What happens here inside must make itself outward. The word must become flesh. All right, so respond to the word immediately. All right, something I'm learning very much. Keep learning and still learning. All right, and recently I spoke to, a few people from our church, and you know, we kind of requested them last minute, do something in the last minute, you know, And this is what I was told, you know, oh, and it was said jokingly, of course. And he says, you know what, you know, if you're going to ask us to do something, give us 3 working days, you know, at least 3 working days notice, we can work on it and make it happen. You know, and it's being said as a joke. And that's very true. That's how the world works. I used to work in an IT company. When someone has an issue with a computer, we have up to 3 days to get back to them and make sure everything is back in order. But you say, but my response and was this, when God speaks, all right, when God takes you, John says, immediately I was in the spirit. You see, it's not in 3 working days I'll be in the spirit. When God speaks, immediately I was in the spirit, all right, on the Lord's day, immediately I'm in the spirit. So very important, respond, don't wait. Okay, and I know I'm using, you know, this story here as a bit of a joke here to make my point, but the point is, Don't delay. We like to delay things, okay? But respond today when you hear his voice. You see, let me say one more thing here, is that, you know, sometimes we look at our church, Evangel Christian Fellowship. We don't associate ourselves with we don't brand or label ourselves as a particular denomination. And, you know, one must wonder why. You know, what kind of church are you? Are you Baptist? Are you Pentecostal? Are you Methodist? Are you charismatic? Are you apostolic? Are you what are you? All right? And I guess our simple answer, you know, will be that we are a restorative church, restoring church. I don't even know if I'm saying that properly, but a church that believes in restoration truth, which simply means this, that as God continuously reveals truth and his word to us progressively right throughout church history, we are to respond to it and not just stay to one level of truth and camp there and stay there forever. God has been moving throughout history. God continues to move. And my responsibility as God reveals the truth, that I'm going to jump right into it. So I've got to be open to what God is doing. I can't shut myself and close myself. All right, next point here. D. Be filled with the light of God's word and truth revealed by the Holy Spirit. We need that all the more in this time and in this age that we're living in, because where there's so much deception, what do we need to do? We need to continuously fill ourselves with the word of God. But let me say this, the word of God is not enough. The word of God needs the Holy Spirit, you see, because without the Holy Spirit, we can make the scriptures say what they want to say. And that's very dangerous too. I want the scriptures to be alive. I want the spirit of wisdom and revelation, just the same way Jesus began to open their eyes, begin to open the scriptures and open the standing. I want that. I want that kind of relationship with the word, not just some, you know, studies and some, you know, research that we can all do. We're talking about the spirit that gives life to the letter. And that is very important. And we're going to pray that today as we conclude. And lastly, I want to say this, we are separated unto God. Light separates us from darkness into his light. But we're not separated for nothing. We're separated for his will. We're separated for a cause. We're separated, you know, God says, Jesus said, a body you have prepared for me to do your will, O God. You and I have been separated from the world to do his will. But many times we're still busy running our own world, running our own will, doing our own thing, living in the flesh, doing all kinds of things, living in darkness maybe even. But you know what? God has called us to separate ourselves, to be consecrated to him and to serve him. All right? So I hope you get something from this. And as you look forward to 2021, all right, God is shining his light. You're going to see all around the world, God is shining his light. Things are going to get deception and fraud and all kinds of evil are going to get manifest. And that's not to scare us. That's to say that God is on the move. God is on the go. God is moving. Amen. So be encouraged. Look forward to what God is doing. You realize that in the midst of darkness, you look at Goshen in Egypt, when darkness covered, you know, the whole of Egypt, but not in Goshen. They still had light. It was amazing. All right, so be encouraged, all right? But as we know this, when the word, when the truth, when the light comes, what do you and I choose to do with it, all right? We can't make it happen, all right? And last week, we talked about resting in the Lord and depending on him, okay? And it's not to say that I'm going to try and make something happen here, but the only thing that I can do is I can open my heart and say, Lord, I receive what you're saying. Don't shut it down. Don't say no. Did God indeed say? Did God really say no? Let's move out of fear, confusion, unbelief, which a lot of what's happened around the world has done to us in this time, right? With COVID and bringing a lot of fear and many other things has been happening. But now let us walk into faith. Let us walk in the truth. Let us walk in the light. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, we just thank you that you are shining forth your light into our very hearts and in our very light and in our very lives. And when you do, Lord, we will not run away from you, but we will run towards the truth. We'll run towards the light. We'll run right into the arms of the Father in the name of Jesus. I pray that our lives will be consecrated, separated from darkness, a life that has been separated unto you, a life that has been sanctified to live for you in the mighty name of Jesus. So I thank you right now. Let the truth of your word continuously come to us and bring light. I pray, release the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that the word of God will be quickened to us. The word of God will be made alive. I pray, let there be resurrection life in Jesus' mighty name, resurrection life to arise, so that those who are in slumber shall no longer be in Jesus' mighty name. Reveal, O God, reveal, let your light shine and bring your church to the next level in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you that you're setting things in motion in Jesus' name for the next things that is to take place. You're taking us from glory to glory. So, Lord, we thank you right now For every heart this morning that says, yes, Lord, that's me. I want that truth. I want that light. I want to walk in it. I want to keep moving forward. That is me. I choose truth. I cite truth. I love truth. This is my heart's desire, and this is my cry. And we pray for all of those who've got this in their hearts, that you would keep us from the evil one, and you would keep us in your truth and sanctify us by your very precious word. We thank you and we bless you in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. God bless you, and we'll see you very soon, and we'll see you in the new year, 2021. Amen.